This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Monday morning, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard. Normally our interests are aligned, right? The junkies are on. They talk about sports, and they're happy when we're happy, and we're happy when they're happy. Generally speaking, there's a lot of regional alignment here that happens on this program. Today, there's not. There is no regional alignment on today's program. The Junkies ride with George Mason, and nope, they were not the winners on Saturday at the Siegel Center. AWOD Radio takes over when we are done here on this getting a little warmer Monday morning. Looks like we're going to have maybe a normal week, which I'm excited about. Of course, you are VCU tomorrow. I'm fired up about that. We may dive into that a little bit. We'll probably save that for tomorrow because we got a good one to get to. Wrapping up Mason and VCU, Alex Ovechkin gets closer to history. We will play that for you in 15 minutes here on Richmond's home of the Washington Capitals. That's worth talking about. That's exciting stuff. Spring training ongoing at Major League Baseball, and I don't want to start there, but I need to sneak in here before I forget, just out of the gate. We talked about the Yankees facial hair policy on Friday, because that was obviously the most important thing that happened in the world in the past week, and I mistakenly said the Yankees were not allowed to grow facial hair. They were previously allowed to grow mustaches. A shout out to Rob, loyal listener, for pointing that out. So our mistake, Yankees were allowed to have mustaches. Now they can have the well-groomed beards to join that, which I'm sure you'll be hearing plenty about as the season goes on and we see who's the first to grow a beard, who's the first to let his beard grow wild, who's the first to let a baby bird incubate eggs in his beard. I don't know. Lots of beard talk to come in the days ahead, I'm sure. Right now, we got to talk about a big win, though, down at the Stew on Saturday. I had a great time. Wrote about it for the Richmonder, richmonder.org, if you missed that. Was also, and we'll play a little bit of this later, was on the Rams horn with Zach Joachim after the game. That's his video series. We'll play a little bit of that for you later. Our recap of the game from, it was a game where, I mean, this is everything I ask for. When I come in here, when I complain about college sports, when I complain about the way of the world, everything I'm asking for happened for 40 minutes on Saturday at the Siegel Center. Sellout crowd, great energy. You just feel the energy the whole game, and certainly in that surge in the second half. Local opponent, you know I love me a local opponent. That's one of my things. Look, when St. Louis is good, when Dayton's good, you know, I got feelings about the Bonnies because we see them so much, but nothing replaces a true quality local opponent. And, Mason made the trip down 95 from Fairfax, gave us a quality local opponent. And by the way, we'll get into the game. We'll get into everything else. I just want to say this though. It's a good basketball team. This is because everybody overreacts to everything. The notion of, oh, you know, Mason, they had a fun run. They beat up on the lesser teams, couldn't handle VCU. No, that's a good basketball team, and they're tough. Tony Skin is tough. He played tough. He coaches tough. I would love to see that team in the NCAA tournament. I don't think they're quite in the VCU mold of, like, team that could make noise in the NCAA tournament. VCU is a very unique mix of kind of hot shooting and a little bit of savvy and some youngsters who can play some good defense. I think if VCU gets the right draw, they can pull the upset in the NCAA tournament. They could also lose. That's how this works. You know, we show the stat every year. 12 seeds have a ton of success against 5 seeds. It doesn't mean the 5 seed never wins. Sometimes the 5 seed wins. But I was watching Gonzaga and Santa Clara after this one the other night. And I was just thinking, I think VCU's better than both these teams. I know KenPom loves Gonzaga, which I don't fully understand, but I do. I think that this is a really good VCU team, and I think the way they approached this week, dismantling UMass, and then, you know, struggling early, finding their footing, getting the job done against Mason, I thought that made a statement. Got a chance to make another statement over at UR about handling their business, and then they host Davidson. They're firmly in the NCAA tournament right now. Four games to go. Lots can happen. It's the A-10. It gets no respect. It's the Rodney Dangerfield of conferences right now. But VCU's firmly in. Mason's got an argument. And I would love to see these teams on Sunday in D.C. playing for the A-10 title, because I think that could potentially mean good things about getting two teams in and making it two bids. And I'm not, you know, I'm not optimistic for Mason because of the schedule, because it's soft. But if they could handle their business, if they could do some things, I think there's a real opportunity there for George Mason to turn the committee's open the committee's eyes to the quality of Atlantic 10 basketball, open the committee's eyes to, hey, you know, is this a down year for the conference? Unquestionably, yes. I could give you extenuating circumstances all day, and I will. You know, St. Louis now has three scholarship players out on injury. I thought that was a team to watch early in the season. The Bonnies have not had the success they hope to have. Dayton's the big one. Dayton was in the field when conference play started and just systematically played their way out. There's talent there, but boy, that was rough. And there's no point in pretending otherwise. The interesting thing, I'll go big picture here for a second. We'll get to Ryan Odom. We'll get to Tony Skin. We'll get to the game. Don't worry. We got 2 hours with you guys. We're going to break it all down because it was such a fun day at the Stew. I loved it. It was a really fun basketball game to watch and to cover. Big picture, though, the A-10, there's going to be hand-wringing after the season because the ceiling is two bids. That's the most the A-10's going to get. And I think to get to two, you're probably looking at either Mason runs the table from here and loses to VCU in the final, and they're going to Dayton. They would start in the play-in round, I think, in that scenario, because you wouldn't know if they're good or not against quality competition. Or the Mason against VCU on Sunday in D.C., Mason wins that game, VCU still in the field, which I think is a possibility as well. Now, the game I saw yesterday, you can run that back. And Tony Skin said after the game, right, he's talking about how it's tough to win. VCU's undefeated at home, all that. That's a game that would have played out similarly at any other arena, at any other time, I believe. I think VCU was the better team decisively. We had a lot of rivalry stuff to get to as well because they brought Bradford Burgess out to talk to the team. You're going to love here in this story, which we will get to as the show goes on. But for VCU, that was the moment. You know, Saturday afternoon, national TV on CBS Sports Network. Just a reminder, hey, we talked about this as a potential top 25 team earlier this season, and top 25 poll comes out at noon today. And these guys are going to be receiving votes, unless the SEC has expanded to 25 teams, in which case that'll just be a ranking of the SEC teams. As long as the SEC is not at 25, there's room for other schools. I think these guys are going to be getting votes. It was a reminder of everything we thought this team could be. Another reminder, not that we needed it, of how good the coaching is on this VCU team this year, because it is, it's spectacular, and it has been very, very good at a high level all season. And the performances are coming around to meet that, to meet that moment. I have been hard on Phil Russell. Phil Russell got the better of his counterpart at George Mason, number zero, who is a total punk. That's what you want to see this time of year. Number zero hits him with the elbow early in the game. Asked Phil about that. Phil said, "You know, I thought is that all you got? You got to come with more than that." He's great. He's either great or he's fouled out. One of the two. But he was great on Saturday. held his own, held his poise, got in their heads, stayed on the right side of that line, wherever that line is. And that is, that's the most you can hope for out of Phil Russell, a contributor, who's making the other team crazy, without hurting his own team. But that's, you know, that's the line he's going to have to walk through the postseason. He was fantastic. He did what he needed to do. Max Schulga remains the best player in the Atlantic 10 Conference. He'll get a chance to win that award for sure on Friday night against Davidson. They've got some talent as well. If Davidson wins, we start the debate. But if VCU can beat Davidson Friday night at home, Max Schulga will almost certainly be your A-10 player of the year, which I love for him. I told Zach this, and we'll play the clip later, but I believe this. If Max Schulga can win a tournament game here at VCU, make NCAA tournament game, his number's going in the rafters. That's how good he's been. And I think, you know, I have those in Zach's like, yeah, I don't think you understand how good Max Schulga is. I don't think anybody understands how good he's gotten this year. The hustle, the intensity, the way he's led this team, sacrificed on both ends of the floor, has been nothing but enormously impressive, which we love to see. We love to see it. Max Schulga, I think, is really close to locking up A-10 Player of the Year. Four games to go. Obviously, lots can happen in four games, and there are four big ones for these guys, too. The two home games are not to be sneezed at. Davidson always gives these guys a run. Davidson is one of the best players in the conference. Dayton is the final home game, and I don't have to tell you, Dayton could beat these guys on any given night. There's absolutely talent there. That's a Dayton team that went out to Maui, made some noise earlier this year, won the A-10 some respect, and then squandered it all in a three-game stretch involving losses to UMass and George Washington. So lots to get to in the basketball world. UVA went down to North Carolina over the weekend. I sit with my guy David Teal. You know I love David Teal. He was sitting next to me. He's monitoring the UVA score and got to 21-2. And I said, don't do that. That's not good for your health. That's not good for anybody. But VCU, man, they put on a show. Took care of business against George Mason. We will break that down. You will hear from the players. You'll hear from the coaches. We've got lots of fun ahead. We'll take a break. We'll talk about Alex Ovechkin on his hunt for history. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan. 105.1 FM rolls along Monday morning. Victory Monday for the VCU. Rams will get back into the locker room after the game. Hear from the players and Coach Ryan Odom and Coach Tony Skin. As well as the show rolls on, get you ready for a week in sports. Lots coming up this week, and tomorrow we'll turn the page. It'll be a VCU game night. You are against VCU over at the Robbins Center. Should be eventful. They always are. I'm always scared to death of those games, and no exception tomorrow. But we got to talk about hockey, folks. I've declared we're going to turn the corner when we get out of basketball and we get done with March Madness. You're going to be hearing a lot about hockey on this program because the Washington Capitals are really good. And not just that. But we're in the process of seeing something we've never seen before in the National Hockey League. The greatest goal scorer of all time, Alex Ovechkin, closing in on Wayne Gretzky's mark. Every game, every moment amplified because of that. And, you know, they come out of this little break for the Four Nations face-off. They're motivated, looking good. They go up, they get a very nice win in Pittsburgh. By the way, five goals in the second period if you're keeping score. And these aren't, you know, Pittsburgh's not vintage Penguins, but it's a nice win. That's a good team, a solid team, and certainly a rivalry game. So to come out of there putting an eight spot on them, you feel pretty good. Then you come back home, short turnaround. You got the travel, you got the short turnaround, playing a very good team in Edmonton, best player in the world, Connor McDavid. And do the same thing. Again, 7 on them yesterday. So the Caps scored 15 this weekend. I've lived through weekends where the Commanders don't score 15. The hockey team scored 15 in a pair of games this weekend. Alex Ovechkin taking center stage yesterday. Let's hear Alex Ovechkin score a goal in the second period. That was an embarrassing faux pas there. I'm still in basketball mode. Second period, Alex Ovechkin puts himself on the board.
Knocked down for Strom, loose for Ovechkin, a chance, and a puck deflecting off Pickard and wide. Would have been Ovechkin's second of the day. Oh, as Edmonton will send it out with 30 left and a man advantage.
I know you're killing a penalty, but how do you leave the grade 8 all pot? No one was near him there. He had plenty of time if you wanted to stop it.
880 in goals. You might want to have somebody a little closer. Back down into the corner for Frank. Right side toward McMichael. Second unit here. Chychrun up top. Looking to Ovechkin. One-timer. He scores! He does it again! 2 goals on the day for Alex Ovechkin. 881! He is 14 away from all-time record status. It's 4-1 Washington!
As that feels good in front of the home crowd there, 4-1 on Edmonton. Again, a really good team. Caps and Winnipeg right now, two best in the league by a pretty wide margin. They're playing great. They're feeding Ovechkin. He's getting his. 2 goals for Ovi going into the third period. Our guy Grant Paulson, I'm guessing he talks about this tonight. Our guy Grant Paulson, Grant and Danny show. Was at the game. He loves the Caps. I love the Caps. We love going up to the games, watching them. He finds himself sitting on the glass more often than I do. I find myself sitting up top more often than he does. Other than that, we're basically the same person. Not mad. He's got a wildly successful Drive Time radio show, as he should. He loves the Caps and buys a new hat at the stadium, which I don't know if you know this. Things are expensive at the stadium. You buy things at a sporting event. They don't discount those things. So he's got a brand new Capitals hat. I see him rocking it on Instagram. Ovechkin scores his second, and he posts on Twitter, "I bought this hat today. I like it. But if Ovi scores again, that's a hat trick. That's 3. I got to throw it, right?" And the answer is, of course, yes. He's got to throw it because... You don't tempt fate like that. Even if you buy a hat, even if it's an expensive hat, even if you love the hat, the only reason to not throw your hat for a hat trick is if you've got very strong sentimental value attached to the hat. Then you don't throw the hat. But if it's just a hat you bought at the team store, as a price of admission, you got a good show that night. You know what happened, of course. Fire it up. Here's Ovechkin with the hat trick.
Oh, this he may get
oh,
it.
Oh, my goodness.
Doing him a favor right now.
Okay.
They're doing him a favor.
Number 8's already on the ice.
Yeah, they're doing him a favor.
Didn't think we were going to see to pull the goalie at 3 goals. Chris Knobloch not conceding anything. Okay. Alex Ovechkin on the ice. Well, the game plan for the guys in red is pretty clear, and the chant for Ovi will start here.
All of a sudden, he's got some jump in his legs.
Yes, he does. Connor McDavid still without a shot on goal today with 2:40 to go in the third period. And a puck that comes to Ovechkin. He scores! He did it! It's a hat trick for Ovechkin! Ty Emberson's stick broke on the center point shot attempt. And Ovechkin with a hat trick. It's 8:82. And the Capitals lead it 7-3. You gotta be here to believe it. Absolutely incredible.
Oh, big things happening down at Capital One Arena. Alex Ovechkin, hat trick, throw the hat, live your life. That's a fun one to be at. That's one you'll tell your kids you were at right there. What a game. 3 for Ovi, capping a weekend where the Washington Capitals score 15 goals on the ice in 120 minutes of hockey, 12 away from tying Wayne Gretzky. By the way, little mini history happening yesterday. Ovechkin moved into a tie for 5th all-time number of hat tricks in NHL history, tying Phil Esposito. He's got 32 hat tricks in his NHL career. Ahead of him, Brett Hull, Mike Bossy, Mario Lemieux, and Wayne Gretzky, of course. All records records belong to Wayne Gretzky, although he is on notice for the goal one. 12 away, 883 goals. Wayne Gretzky, 882 goals. Next will be 883. Wayne Gretzky has 894, the most in NHL history. We've got a month and some change. It's season goes through mid-April here, so we got all of March to take care of business, and then we'll be watching in April. And reminder, playoff goals don't count, so there's certainly a chance that he gets to the doorstep. They're in the playoffs. They're the one seed, and those goals don't count. We just stagnate. You know, he's three away. He scores. He's three away. He scores. He's three away. That's a possibility here, so don't rule that out. So just so you know, the playoff goals don't count, but Alex Ovechkin chasing history is now officially a thing. When we get to single digits, it's going to be a bigger thing. But the most important thing coming out of the weekend, Washington Capitals are pretty dang good at playing hockey, as evidenced by that performance. That was a remarkable game, a remarkable weekend for the Washington Capitals, who are having a ton of fun out there. Of course, we got more than just hockey to worry about. We got basketball, a lot of basketball this week as we fly towards March. Going to be an eventful month. We've got, of course, the tournaments, A10 tournament. I guess we'll follow the ACC tournament a little bit. Not much to say about Tech UVA this year, other than we'll follow them in the tournament into the brief and unmemorable Ron Sanchez era at UVA. I think Mike Young will get and deserves another year at Tech because, I mean, what are you going to do? Toby LaWall, by the way, showing out last weekend. Props to Toby LaWall, who's developing nicely down there. I know a lot of fans were upset when he left VCU, but his coach went down there, the guy who had been working with him at VCU. I think he's continued to grow into a great player, a guy who maybe even is going to have a little bit of buzz around him at playing at the next level. Maybe. We'll see. But Toby LaWall developing nicely at Virginia Tech, which I love to see. Root for the good guys, and he is one of them. But A-10 basketball will be up at Capital One Center, and then we will get out of there so Ovechkin can get back into that building and break this goal-scoring record. What a moment that will be. Culmination of 2 decades of great hockey in Washington, D.C. Stanley Cup, and maybe sometime this season, maybe sometime next season, becomes the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL. Truly a great time to be talking sports, which we do, and will continue to do. On the other side of this break, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Quarter of the way at the quarter pole here on the Monday morning show. We'll figure this out eventually. Monday morning on The Fan, just after 10:30 in Richmond, Virginia, warming up this week, which we love to see. My favorite subplot, there's people who know about this rivalry, and there's people who are excited about the game, and some people are just excited about the game, right? That's a lot of the students. I talked about that last week. One of the students say, hey, this is a rivalry. Yeah, this is a rivalry. George Mason and VCU, it's absolutely a rivalry. But it's a rivalry. It goes back. Bradford Burgess had his senior night against George Mason. This is way back. This is more than a decade ago. When he was having his senior night presentation, and they're talking and saying nice things about him, and he's with his family in the middle of the court, the George Mason team came running out and started doing warm-ups and layup lines around his senior night presentation. So Ryan Odom knows it's a rivalry, knows it's an important game. Very wisely gave the microphone to Bradford Burgess on a Saturday morning to share that story. Brad went off, of course, scored a lot of points. VCU won that game and that day. Here's Phil Russell on learning about that for the first time.
They actually told us at shoot around they had did some disrespectful things a while back on the senior night. So it was from there, that's all I needed to hear. Like, it's just showtime.
And what was that atmosphere like?
The atmosphere was tremendous, like wonderful. Like, we loved it. I want to thank this whole school. We needed that.
Yes, disrespect to the highest order. That's all I needed to hear from Phil Russell. That's great. So a lot of stuff happened before the game, which doesn't normally happen. The VCU pep band, the Peppas. So for those of you who are not old enough to know, the VCU band had a rivalry with the Mason band, Doc Nix and the Green Machine, who, by the way, like, just no dog in the fight here. They were really good, too. The Peppas are better, but the Green Machine did a Rage Against the Machine cover that was fantastic for a very long time back in the golden days, back in the day, Richmond Coliseum CAA tournaments. They were very good, too. So it was a legitimate band rivalry as well. The Peppas lined up as Mason arrived at the arena. The Peppas lined up, kind of made like a tunnel that the Mason players had to walk through to get to their locker room, and they played the Undertaker's theme song from WWE and pretended like it was a funeral. So yes, that's the kind of rivalry we've got here, where even the band's getting into it, and everybody's got their piece to say and to do. So that's Ryan Capazzi, the band leader, who of course is he's great. He's got that group role, and I'm glad he's back. It's good to have guys who understand the rivalry. And for Ryan Odom, it's nice to have Bradford Burgess on staff to be able to share the story of his senior night. Here is Ryan Odom's perspective on that.
So he knows it as well, and he had a great scene.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your night, you know, here, and you know, certainly he's proud to be a Ram, and proud to compete, you know, in this game.
How important is that for you to have guys here who can connect to that history?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's huge. I mean, Darius and Brad and also Roos, even Jay Wall, who's our trainer, have all been here and seen the Siegel Center like it was tonight. Used to be a regular thing, and we're trying to get it back to that, right? Where it's like that every single night, regardless of who's coming in here. And we've got two more opportunities, you know, for that to happen. And certainly, you know, the Davidson game is an ESPN game, then the Dayton game is an ESPN game to finish it out. And so, you know, our hope is that, you know, it'll feel the same way as it did tonight, because they're all big games. All right. Why? Because the Rams are playing. That's why.
Yeah, there was a stretch in the second half when you guys got, like, I believe it was 7 turnovers in the last 4 minutes. Those were plays where, like, Max got that clear path foul call, and you guys were just finishing a lot of those plays. And in comparison to the first half, where some of the pick balls that you guys were getting were going away from you guys and, like, leading the fouls in favor of the Patriots.
Yeah, we talked about that at halftime. Darius writes it on the board, you know, it's like we're not going to get out-hustled. And credit to George Mason in the first half. They were tipping some balls, and they got 6 offensive rebounds, I think. You know, one was a dead ball one. And we just couldn't quite get it. And we've been really good at that. And to your point, you know, we hammered that home with it. Like, we're not getting out-hustled. We're going to get the ball. And the guys, they did a nice job, you know, in the second half of doing that.
That's Ryan Odom, VCU basketball coach, after the win over George Mason. And the turnovers were huge. And they were pressing, but Mason got in their own heads, too. Some bad passes, some unforced errors as well in that second half, which everybody saw. But, yeah, that was like, the coolest like line from Ryan Odom there. They're big games. Why? Because the Rams are playing. He leans into that and that identity, which I think is really important for this team to have that, because they are. They're going to get everybody's best shot every night, everywhere they go. And that's Ryan Odom flipping that on his head. It's not kind of hunkering down and circling the wagons and be like, all right, we're getting everybody's best shot. We got to be ready. You know, we got to do these things so that, you know, this isn't fair necessarily, but everybody's coming for us. This is Ryan Odom being like, everybody needs to come for us, because we're VCU. We are the Rams. That is why everybody's coming for us. And that is why these are big games. When VCU comes to your town, it's a big game because we're there and we're VCU. And that's that has been the case in, ever since the Final Four. And of course, Mason's got a Final Four as well. But you felt that energy in the building. You felt that buzz going around in the Stew on Saturday, which was a ton of fun. Here is Ryan Odom giving his introductory thoughts on the game and the way it played out.
You know, proud of the guys' resilience and you know, figuring out a way to win that game and coming back in the second half and playing more like ourselves. You know, certainly the first half was played, you know, at George Mason's pace, and they did a great job of really bothering us, you know, on defense, moving us around on offense, offensive rebounding. They were physical. I thought they did a nice job. For us, offensively, we were a little bit too quick, you know, with our shots in transition when we did get stops. We weren't as clean as we needed to be with our passing. Obviously, we weren't making shots. So when you're shooting quick ones and they're threes and sometimes they're contested, it can be frustrating when you play at a pace like that. And certainly our guys, I wouldn't say they were frustrated, but it was, you know, we weren't playing like ourselves offensively. And so we were able to get into halftime, you know, fortunate to be down one. Obviously, we had the ball in the last possession. I was hoping we would score there, but we didn't. And, you know, we were down one at GW as well. And so it's not like, we hadn't been there, before. And, it happens at different times for us. And, you know, I thought our guys, were very disruptive in the second half. They came out, and played more like ourselves, or our guys played more like themselves. And you saw the passing, you saw the extras, you saw the drives and the stops that we need to be efficient on that side of the ball. And the numbers, you know, flipped, you know, from assist to turnover ratio in the second half. We did have that one little stretch that wasn't great when they began to press us and we were sped up a little bit, but we settled in. I was really proud of Zeb and the way that he finished, you know, the game with you know, the passing that he made. You know, Max was a monster all game. You know, he just did what Max does and what we need him to do. I think that might have been one of the first games. I don't know. You have to go back and look at it where I didn't take him out in the second half. That hasn't been the case this season. You know, I think that's why he's been more efficient, you know, because he hasn't had to play, you know, long stretch. He can play long stretches, but you know, he's better when he gets a little bit of a blow and can go back in there. And, you know, I took a timeout, you know, when Haynes was shooting the free throw just to give him one extra blow so he could finish the game rather than, you know, taking him out. And, clearly he's a key piece to be out there and certainly was tonight, but it was a collective effort. You know, I thought the guys did a nice job defensively, you know, pretty much throughout the game. But, you know, once we began to play better offense, then the pressure, you know, was where we needed it to be.
And that's a little bit of a flip. That's Ryan Odom, VCU basketball coach, right here, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. It's a little bit of a flip from where things were, at, you know, a few weeks ago where he's talking about how the defense needs to spark the offense. This time he said the offense sparked the defense. By making shots, they were able to set the defense to do the things they needed to do, get those turnovers. And when Mason was up one at halftime, but VCU was shooting in the 20s, percentage-wise, I felt good, and I think a lot of you felt good as well. Yeah, they're not going to shoot that poorly again. And Mason couldn't capitalize on their moment, on their pace, on their game. And sure enough, they start running with VCU, and this thing's over right away. Fun day at the Stew on Saturday. Victory Monday today. Game day tomorrow. We'll get you ready for VCU. You are, but still plenty more to go in this show. We got an hour and some change. We'll cross talk with AWOD. We'll play my chat with Zach Joachim. We will get to all that, but also a little bit of news from the NFL world. Matt Stafford on the trading block. We'll talk about where that could lead. And banning the tush push is on the agenda this week at the NFL Combine. All that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Victory Monday show. Nice win for VCU at the Stu sold out crowd. I think the last two are going to sell out as well. Get your tickets now if you want to be down there Friday night against Davidson, next Friday against Dayton. And then I know a lot of y'all will be traveling up 95 with us. AWOD and I will be up there at the A-10 tournament, which I know we're both looking forward to for a handful of really good basketball games over a few days that will determine this team's tournament fate and the A-10's tournament fate as a whole. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I've only got an entire sounder about it. But you're always nervous, right? Because I think VCU's in. You're always nervous going into that title game. That the other team, the conference is rooting for the other team, trying to sneak two in for that sweet, sweet revenue from getting an NCAA tournament team in. We'll see. If it's VCU Mason, I saw what I needed to see on Saturday. I know who the better team is, and I know who it'll be next time around as well. I do have a ton of respect for Mason coach Tony Skin. I think he's got this team rolling. I also think, and I wrote this in the Richmonder as well, college basketball in the state needs this rivalry right now, needs these teams to be good, and needs Mason to be good, because VCU made the Final Four. Norwood Teague was the athletic director. He hands it off to Ed McLaughlin. They've been just making good hires over and over ever since, and they've sustained that success, and now they can attract that talent, sustain that success. Mason went the other way, chased the big name, and Paul Hewitt ended up paying for that, and then they had their kind of long, dark period of mediocrity, and they're coming out of that now with Tony Skin, who is a great hire. Loved watching him on the sideline and engaging with his team. With JMU doing fine, but they're in the Sun Belt. Unless ODU gets good, there's no, JMU ODU could be a good rivalry, and it is in football. But ODU is just a full non-factor in basketball, and JMU tries a mind. That's a one bid league. You're only going to get so much juice out of that. Virginia and Virginia Tech is a full nothing right now. We don't talk about this a ton because I don't like to dwell on it. We got Who's Talking. That's our UVA show. But, man, UVA is just fully irrelevant now in both men's basketball and football. And, by the way, women's basketball has been nothing to write home about since Debbie Ryan either. They won another women's swimming championship over the weekend, and they're awesome in so many non-revenue sports. Their lacrosse is struggling right now, by the way. Baseball will be very good again this year. They're very good at a lot of things, and it's cool to be very good at. But, man, they're a full zero right now in football and men's basketball and women's basketball. And those are the three that people watch on TV. Maybe softball, baseball, lacrosse, and kind of a mini package there in the second tier. And aside from the baseball, that ain't much going on in that tier either. It's tough. And so the state needs this. They need Mason to be good. We need Mason VCU to be a rivalry because we need those big games. We need that spotlight. And we need those moments to rally and have people come around and watch some good basketball from time to time. And I'm hopeful Tony Skin will be the guy to do it at Mason. Rivalry aside, things are better when George Mason is good at basketball. Now, for the rest of the season, you're rooting like crap against him because you don't want to jeopardize that one seed at the A-10 tournament. I think not just for the seeding, but I think to show the committee where the one seed in the A-10 is important. They've got a softer schedule than VCU does down the stretch. And, of course, because they're tied right now, any misstep by VCU opens the door to Mason reclaiming that one seed. I don't know that from a matchup perspective, it's hugely relevant. But I think from a tournament committee perspective, it's kind of a big deal. That's my thought for the last four here is if you could get another Mason loss on the board, I think that would be really good for VCU.
to have a little wiggle room to operate with, and hopefully they don't need it. Hopefully they keep playing their way. I said earlier in the program, I thought they were an 11 seed. I think they could potentially play their way higher if they run the table the rest of the way, because people are seeing, I think they're going to get top 25 votes this week. People are seeing how good this VCU basketball team is, and the ceiling is very high. Now, there's also a school of thought that you don't want to go too high, that 12 is kind of the sweet spot in the seeding, because then you can play the 5 and then the 4. I think an 11 going against a 6, that's fine too. But there's always that school of thought, right? Like, if you're a 9 seed, you get that winnable first game, but then you got to play the 1 seed, and you don't want to play the 1 seed the first weekend. Not that, you know, Ryan Odom's going to run scared any of these situations, but it's stuff to think about if you're a VCU fan, and it's nice to be thinking about this stuff, because we've had years where that was not the case. This started with me talking about Tony Skin. We've got the clip ready. Tony Skin's a Georgia Mason coach. I got a lot of respect for him. He gave a great post-game press conference. I want to play a little snippet of that for you right now.
Yeah, this is a phenomenal college basketball game. Got a lot of respect for this program. Walked in the gym this morning for shoot around and just kind of looked around the gym, and there's a lot of banners in this building. And, they've been pretty much flawless all season long at home. It's such a tough place to play. It was when I was a player at George Mason. You know, I expected us to come out with a little bit more toughness. We did that in the first half. It didn't go in our favor in the second half. I thought they were tougher than us. I thought we turned the ball over, which turned into touchdown points for them. And, they smelt that, and they just got a little tougher. And when you're on the road, you can't make those mistakes. This is a great basketball game. It's a great basketball program. I tip my hat off to my guys because we've gone on the road and been pretty much flawless at Dayton, at St. Bonaventure, at St. Louis, games you're supposed to lose. You throw VCU in that mix, and it's almost impossible to get this win. I'd love to have 2 games a year, though.
Questions for Coach Skin?
Coach, you guys led 29-27 early in that second half, and then 15-0 run by them flipped this game. What happened in that season?
Yeah, I mean, I told them at halftime. You know, I told these guys, our coaches told these guys, VCU is the best in our league in the second half in kills. And what that means is 10-0 runs. They're really good at it. I thought we were going to be able to have a little bit of sustainability. But again, when you turn the basketball over against a good team, they make you pay for it, and that's exactly what they did.
Was their defense better than you had scouted, or was it pretty much what you expected?
We turned the ball over. They didn't do anything special. Again, it's hard to win games when you're taking tough shots and you're turning the basketball over. And I don't think that the score, it got a little sloppy towards the end, but the score is not, it's not an indictment of what the game actually was. I thought when we had a chance to still be in the game, I thought we got down 10 with maybe like 9 or 10 minutes to go. And, we felt the pressure a little bit, and we just didn't have the same grit that we've had all season long. And like I said, man, we've won 12 damn games in a row. I expected a tough game. I expected to be a tough. We'd have to play almost perfect to beat a good VCU team that at the end of the day, they're hunting the same thing we're hunting. So, again, I'm proud of these guys. And to be honest with you, we probably needed, a little buzz.
And, Coach, this is a pretty storied matchup. And with you playing against them in the CAA, did this game mean anything more to you specifically, personally?
No, I think it means the world to everyone, especially when you're playing the way that we've been playing. You're 21-5, 12-1 in conference. VCU's right on our heels. There was a lot at stake tonight. I think the one message that I have to relay to my team and our program is that at the end of the day, we still got 4 league games to play. And I don't want us to just put all our energy and all our focus into one game. It's a very, very good game that we played today. I'm okay. I'm proud of these guys. And we've got 4 more games that mean just as much to us coming up.
You mentioned how it is to come down here. Do you give any thought to what it might be like to play them in a few weeks back
yeah.
up there?
Not at home. That's a neutral floor. And again, message, I'd love this game twice a year. Something we have not had. It's something I would like. It was a competitive game when I played. Excuse my candidness. I'm not a fan of VCU when I was a player. I'm still not, but I have a lot of respect for the program. But that's the competitive spirit that I have, and that's the competitive spirit that my guys are going to have moving forward.
I kind of love that dude. What a great tone to set after something like that. To go between, right? And it was a mix of like, I don't like those guys, but I respect those guys. We need to play twice a year, which is, that ball's in your court, buddy. VCU plays the best teams in the A-10 twice every year. That is how the schedule sets. When they make the rotating opponents, they say who's going to be good this year, and VCU gets to play them twice and two against Richmond because it's an in-city rivalry. Ryan Odom, by the way, wants to do a full rotation where they mix it up and they don't play the best teams twice every year. I'm not sure I totally agree with that. That's a topic for another segment because we're running long on this segment. The point of this segment is Tony Skin's cool, and I hope he gets it done at Mason, and I hope that's a great rivalry for years to come. We've got a couple more segments with you. We'll crosstalk with AWOD. We'll send you off to 3 hours of Victory Monday. AWOD Radio from Capitol Ale House. We'll do it all on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Yeah, that's the Odyssey app that is giving you the chance to win the Slam Dunk in Vegas. Here's the deal. You and three guests, $20,000 in spending money, round trip, airfare, and five nights at the Circa Resort and Casino. It's a huge prize. Listen to 910 The Fan on the Odyssey app for 60 minutes today and every day, and you're automatically qualified to win. It's one entry per day. This is a national contest. Just in time for the tourney, download and win the Slam Dunk in Vegas with Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Will be along with you for the whole ride, however long VCU takes this. And if they play like they did Saturday in the second half, it's going to be a long ways. Certainly a little run in D.C. possible at the A-10 tournament, and then turn our attention to the big one. I think if you're a four seed, I don't think this is the team you want to see on the other side of that draw. Four seed. No, six seed. I was doing that wrong. Because 5-12, everybody associates with 5-12. I don't think they're a 12. I think they're an 11. I think they're an 11, which means they would go up against a 6, which means they have a chance to win, in my humble estimation. We already talked about Yankees facial hair once today. Not the only thing. Things are happening with the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees are allowing their players to grow beards, which is, of course, wildly controversial. Obviously, we could do many hours of sports radio about the Yankees facial hair policy. We won't, just out of respect for y'all in the audience and what we're doing here and the VCU won. We don't want, the Yankees have a facial hair policy. We don't want that to overshadow VCU basketball in any way. So we're choosing to emphasize VCU basketball. Just know, I could do 7 hours of radio on the Yankees facial hair policy. I'd do it. Then this news last night comes via The Athletic. Just days after the New York Yankees amended one of the most recognizable rules in American professional sports. I love that. That's one of the most recognizable rules in American professional sports. And we're talking about beards here. Another iconic tradition will change. The team will no longer play Frank Sinatra's New York, New York after losses. They will only play it after wins. They lost 4-0 to the Tigers in spring training exhibition. Frank Sinatra's That's Life played as fans left. This is the first time since 1980 that the Yankees did not play New York, New York after the game. Different Frank Sinatra songs will be played on repeat after losses. That's a 45-year tradition. What is happening with the New York Yankees? Hal Steinbrenner is doing his thing now. We're out of George's shadow now. We're changing the loss song. Juan Soto leaves for the Mets. All of a sudden, everything's up for debate again with the New York Yankees. We'll of course keep you apprised. I can't do 7 hours of radio on Frank Sinatra songs or the Yankees loss song policy, other than noting to you that it is happening, and we'll keep up with the baseball scene throughout spring training. I think we'll have Trey Wilson on tomorrow for Tuesdays with Trey, who is way more plugged in than I am. Lane Casadante was down there last week for CBS6. He chatted with Justin Verlander, which I thought was really cool. So we'll hear about that hopefully on Thursday. Lots to get to this week. It'll be a busy week. NFL Combine getting underway. It is nice to not have to care intensely about every movement of the combine, because when you pick at 29, You get who falls to you. I'm sure we'll have favorites by the end of the road. But we're not, you know, you're not living and dying on every moment like last year. We're trying to figure out which quarterback to draft. But the, one of the highlights of Combine Week, the NFL's competition committee meets to discuss changing the rule book, which happens, you know, during Super Bowl week. Those conversations took place. You know, you hear a lot of that around town in New Orleans, and then they meet at the Combine to kind of firm that up. A few big things. One is they're going to meet today, per Mark Maskey of the Washington Post, to discuss whether to ban the tush push, which I am against. I think the tush push should be allowed. The argument is only one team's good at it, and it's a dangerous play. My counterpoint is, you can't ban something because only one team's good at it. That's not, you know, just because the Eagles have figured it out and perfected it doesn't mean you ban it. Now, you got to enforce the rules, because I do think teams are figuring out that the Eagles were kind of getting a little, you know, grabbing a little extra inch and a little extra edge there. You got to enforce the rules, but within the rules, they did nothing wrong. Let them push away of the tushes. I see nothing wrong with having a play that only a few teams are good at. Because you don't punish a team for being good. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Frankie Louvu has some thoughts about that as well, I would imagine. Don't hate Frankie Louvu. He figured out he could jump off sides every time. He just moved the ball a half inch. Not his fault he read the rule book. That's on the docket today. The kickoff format potentially being tweaked again to move touchbacks back to the 35-yard line instead of the 30. So in this new format, touchbacks come out to the 30, and that's to incentivize putting a kick in play and having a return. If you bring the kickoff to the 35, that should theoretically incentivize even more kickoffs and even more returns, because people like returns. They're an exciting play. That would incentivize more returns down the line in the NFL. I will just say this about the 35. You're basically two first downs away from a field goal at that point. So I think there's a downwind impact that there will be a little more scoring in the game as well. I don't think it's a seismic change, but it's a small one. I'm not for it or against it. I think it's fine. I think if you want kickoff returns, do it. Have kickoff returns. Kickoff returns are an exciting play. They're fun. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. You know, and get rid of the kickoff. I don't like the 4th and 25 gimmick that they're always talking about, where instead of an onside kick, you can run a play and it's 4th and 25 and you got to convert it. Feels too gimmicky to go to Hail Marys to decide onside kicks. But that may just be me. Who knows? Other big thing is first downs. They're discussing using electronic first down markers, but not putting a chip in the ball, which is obviously what they need to do to ensure accurate spotting. I'm very curious why they still have not gone down that road. We'll keep you up to date on all that as the Combine rolls along this week. Our show rolls into hour number two momentarily. My talk with Zach Joachim. More from VCU and George Mason. You'll hear from Tony Skin, the George Mason coach, who is really good. We'll cross-talk with AWOT. All that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.